Let's turn in the Word of God, please, to the book of Proverbs, and the chapter number 23. Proverbs chapter 23, and I know usually I am going through the books of the Old Testament with five more to do, but I just felt that the Lord led me to this passage this week and to one particular verse, and I just want to leave it before you this morning. Proverbs chapter 23, we'll continue our reading from verse number 15. My son, if thine heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice, even mine. Yea, mine reins shall rejoice when thy lips speak right things. Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. For surely there is an end, and thine expectation shall not be cut off. Hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thine heart in the way. Be not among winebibbers, among riotous eaters of flesh. For the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. Buy the truth and sell it not, also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begatteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. Amen. Let's pray that the Lord will bless his reading of this word and his truth that's contained therein. Our loving Heavenly Father, we give thee thanks and praise for the privilege of being in the house of God today and reading thy truth. Lord, our hearts already have been refreshed as we've read these words. We thank thee for the washing of the water of the word, Lord, that refreshes us and, Lord, cleanses our mind. And we thank thee, Lord, that this word is from heaven itself. Lord, help us to hear today. Help us to understand today. Help us to be obedient today to what thou would call us to. Lord, help us to remember that all the commands of God are for our good, for thy glory. Lord, help us to be those who walk in the paths of righteousness. Lord, as we come to thy truth today, we acknowledge we have no ability of ourselves to bring any profit before this congregation. But we thank thee, Lord, that thou canst take an instrument and use it for thy glory. We pray, Lord, that you will speak through me today. Lord, empty me of self and sin. Lord, fill me with thy spirit. Give me leading and direction. And Lord, even things that I have written down, Lord, if they're not for thy glory, help me not to say them. And Lord, just lead me in every word that it might be profitable. I pray for the unsaved that you'll bring them to Christ. Pray for the backslider, Lord, that you'll restore unto them the joy of thy salvation. I pray, Lord, for God's people that you'll build us up in thy most holy faith. Lord, help us to reassess our priorities this morning and get the right things put in the right place. And forgive us, Lord, for times whenever we've left thee to the side. Oh God, I pray this morning you'll deal with each heart, whatever the spiritual condition be, whatever the spiritual need, Lord, minister, we pray. We thank thee for the Spirit of God that can take the one passage of the word and apply it in so many ways to so many different people. Do that today, oh Lord, and we would be careful to give thee the praise and the honor and the glory as we wait before thee today, for Christ's sake. Amen. Each proverb in this book is a sermon within itself, and you could go through every single verse and preach on it, and it would take a long, long time. But as I read through the Proverbs every day, I ask the Lord to leave one verse on my heart for that day. And when I was reading on Friday, I came to verse number 23, and the Lord really just spoke to me through this verse, and I want to share that with you this morning. It says, "Buy the truth and sell it not, also wisdom and instruction and understanding." But just before we come to it, I just want to highlight a couple of verses out of this passage. And as I said, every verse is a sermon. I just highlight certain ones that stood out to me today. Verse number 4, it says, "Labor not to be rich." Labor not to be rich. And I believe that speaks to us of the importance of priorities. And you know, there are people who live in this world and that's their goal. They get up in the morning to get wealth. They think to get wealth. They labor to get wealth. And the Lord is telling us that there's something higher than that. Something greater than that. And folks, we need to have our priorities right. The importance of priorities. Then we go to verse number 7. And there's the importance of personal thoughts. Because it says there, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." And you know, this tells us of the importance of our personal thought life. You can appear to be something before others, but that will only last for a little while, and certainly in the very end, the Lord will reveal you for who you are. And here we have to be very careful about our heart, about our thought life, that we have control over it, that we ask the Lord to put restraint upon it, that we would not go into places and into areas that are not appropriate for the child of God. And then we come to verse number 10. It says, remove not the old landmarks. And there's the importance of the past, the importance of past faithfulness and the importance of past truth. And the landmarks that we've been given certainly are the Word of God. And we ought not to remove anything from it or add anything to it. It's enough for us to be saved, to be sanctified, and eventually to be glorified. Then we come to verses 15 and 16. It says, my son, if thine heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice, even mine. Yea, my reins shall rejoice when thy lips speak right things. And that did really strike me as I read that Friday morning, because it's the importance of pleasing God. The importance of pleasing God. And folks, if you're saved and you live in wisdom and you do what is right and you say right things, it brings glory to God and it pleases the heart of God. My reins, my thoughts, my inner being shall rejoice when thy lips speak right things. But what must it do to the Lord when our lips speak wrong things? And whenever we're harsh and discouraging and unfaithful with our lips, folks, our lives, as it were, affect the Lord. And we say that reverently. We either please the Lord or we displease the Lord. We either bring glory to him or dishonor to him. And here, we really could do a series in this verse or this passage here. Folks, we have to be careful about the way we live. And then in verse number 26, it says, my son, give me thine heart. My son, give me thine heart. The importance of full surrender. The importance every morning of you getting up and saying, Lord, take my life. Let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Every single part of it. Every single part of my body. Every single part of my thought. Every single part of my heart. Lord, help me hold nothing back. And Lord, if I'm doing that, Lord, help me. And give me the grace, take my hands off whatever I'm holding back, and to surrender all to thee. My son, give me thine heart. And may our heart listen for the direction of God and the will of God. And those are five just verses out of that passage, and so much to think about. But the one that really stuck with me was verse number 23. And I want us just to turn to that now in our meeting. Verse number 23, buy the truth and sell it not, also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The word buy, literally in the Hebrew, means to set up or to erect. It could also be translated receive, accept, get, own, possess, or recover. And the thought here is to get something. Now, the word buy is an interesting word we use in English to give money over that we might purchase something. But remember the way the Lord uses these words. When it says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found, it's not the seeking to see if you can find something. It is going to the place you know you will find the Lord in the Scriptures. When it says, buy, it doesn't mean come offering something to the Lord so you get something. It means come to the place where there is the bountiful supply. Come without money and buy and take what the Lord is offering you in his Word. And it has the thought of setting things up in your life. And it says here to buy the truth. And before we go any further, I want to say that you and I set things up in our life. We erect things in our lives. And if these are right things, then our life will be right. And if we set our life by wrong things and set things up in our life that are wrong and make them important in our life, then that will also affect your life. And what is it that you're setting up in your life? What are you living your life by? What are the restraints you set in your life? What are the conditions you set in your life? Because how you live your life, how you set things up in your life, what you build your life around will determine the type of life you live. It will also determine the type of death you die, your service and your usefulness before God. The things that you set up in your life, that you erect as your standards, they will mold you. They will influence your family. They will affect the church that you belong to, and they will dictate your testimony. Therefore, what are we to strive after? What is it that we are to set up in our lives? What is it that we are to erect in our lives that will guide us? What must be the guiding, regulating, and most important thing in our lives? Well, it tells us here in the verse, buy, receive, get the truth. Now, the word truth there is a beautiful word, and the reason is, in the original, it means stability. Now, folks, if there's something that everybody's looking for in their lives, children, adults, it is stability. Stability. And yet the world is going after everything and anything but the Word of God and but the truth that brings stability in our lives. God blesses His people. And God does give stability whenever we follow His truth. And that's what that word means. By truth, set up stability in your life. It also means certainty, that which is right, that which is faithful, that which is sure, that which is true. Comes from a word that means to build up, to support, and to foster as a parent or a nurse. And we can see from the imagery there, from the meaning of the word, that whenever God's word is erected in our lives, and when it's set up in our lives, that God builds us up, God supports us, and God nurses us through His word. Gently leads those that are young, and guides us in the right way that we ought to go. And folks, never allow anything in your life to have a higher place or a higher say than the Word of God. Because of its source, it's God's Word. It's from the Lord, our Creator, the one who knows what's best for us, the one who loves us, wants us to have the best. Because of its eternality, it does not change. You will not go to God's word 10 years from now and find anything different because God's standards are always the same. God desires us to walk the way He called the children of Israel to walk in holiness. Be ye holy as I am holy. God desires us to walk as the early Christian church walked in the book of Acts. But we ought not to give God's word any higher place than God's word because of its source, because of its eternality. But folks, because of its purpose. What is the purpose of the Word of God? Why is God so ordained that you're sitting in His house today, holding His Word? What's the purpose of this book? Well, I tell you the purpose. It is a guide. First, a guide to find Christ. And then a guide to Christ-likeness. And that's what this book is. And there are many people who are trying to find salvation, trying to get to heaven, trying to deal with the issue of their sin and their guilt and their shame. And they're trying everything but the only way offered to sinful man by a holy God, and that is our Savior. And this book is a guide to salvation, to Christ. And then once we're saved, it's a guide to Christ-likeness. The word for truth is also used in another verse in Scripture, and I want you to turn to it in Isaiah chapter 30. And it just, again, emphasizes how the Lord teaches us and how the Lord uses His truth. Isaiah 30 and verse number 21. And it says, "And thine ear shall hear a word behind thee, saying, This is the way, walk ye in it. When you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left." What a beautiful verse. It teaches us that the Lord speaks through His word. That the Lord will whisper in our ear, in our hearts, and tell us the right way to go. You see, the word of God gives stability. It gives direction. It gives guidance. And if you want to know God's will for your life, if you want to know God's plan for His people, if you want to know if something is right or if something is wrong, get to the truth. Get to the truth of God's word. Notice the place of truth in this verse. It is the very first thing that is mentioned. It's primary, it's foundational to all that follows. Your wisdom, understanding, and instruction will be characteristic of the source that you're building your life around. And folks, if you build your life around man's wisdom, Then you'll have the wisdom of man, the instruction of man, and the understanding of man. And that'll take you to hell. But if you build your life around God's truth, then you'll be blessed with the wisdom of God, the instruction of God, and the understanding of God. We'll come to those words in just a few moments to see exactly what that means. What happens when God's word is left aside? Chaos. The opposite of stability. You know what in your life, I know what in mine. The times whenever we've gone contrary to the word of God, we know God says to do this, but we did something else. And God says, don't do this, and we did it. What happened? There was chaos in our lives. The stability was affected. Our peace was affected. We felt guilt. We felt shame. We felt God chastising us. What happens whenever God's word's left aside in the church? There's chaos. What happens whenever God's word is left aside in the nation? There's chaos. And I don't mean that a nation will be a particularly Christian place, but that their laws and will be based upon the word of God and principle. And folks, we have seen around us many examples of this. And when the principles of God's word are not practiced and given proper priority, then you know what happens. The loudest voice in the crowd dictates. You see, whenever God's word's not given priority in your life, then your voice becomes louder than God's and you dictate what you do. When God's word's not given priority in the church, and whenever people are not obedient to God's word in a church, it's then the loudest voice in the church that gets the priority and dictates what happens. And whenever a nation fails to follow the laws of God and they take those laws and they turn them around and make laws doing the opposite of what God's word is, you know what happens? It's the loudest voice in the nation. Who has the most money to put their propaganda forward or their argument or their desires forward? And the loudest voice then rules the roost. Folks, it's dangerous whenever we leave aside God's word. Dangerous whenever we try to live without the word of God. So I'm going to ask you a question. Christian, what place does God's word have in your life? Parents, what place does God's word have in your home? Children, in this meeting this morning, what place does God's word have in your life? So important, no matter what age you are, that you're reading the Bible. You're reading God's word. Because that's stability, that is truth, setting up those principles that will lead you aright in your life. Now, as we read the word of God, we're told that there are three things we will receive: wisdom, instruction, and understanding. The first one there is wisdom. And that has the thought of being wise in mind, word, and action. Mind, word, and action. And the verb actually there has a thought of being made wiser, a continuing verb, being made wiser as we read. Now, very seldom do we meet anyone who's wise in mind and word and action. There may be wise in one of them, or even two of them, or on a special day, maybe three, but not for too long. Those three things are being encapsulated here in the word wisdom. Our mind, our words, and our actions. All three are important. And folks, I would say this morning, reading God's word is a privilege. But obeying and acting upon God's word is wisdom. Reading God's word is privilege. But acting upon God's word is wisdom. And there are many privileged people in Northern Ireland. But there are not many ways. And there are many privileged people in this congregation. It could be you're greatly privileged, but if you're honest, you do not execute wisdom because while you know what God's word says, you do not obey it. True wisdom is following the word of God. Now, what do I say when I mean following the word of God? Here's what I don't mean. I don't mean acting upon man-made opinions. Christians should do this and Christians shouldn't do that. And this is just made up of man and there's no validation in the word of God or validation in the word of God or anything like that. There's a lot of people making laws, and the people that were making laws like that in the Lord's time were called Pharisees. Hundreds and hundreds of laws that had to be obeyed if you were going to be a good Jew, if you're going to be respected. Folks, you can waste your time following man's commands and trying to please man. I'm talking about reading the Word of God and obeying God. That doesn't always mean a pat on the back, and it doesn't always mean encouragement, but it does mean the blessing of God. We ought to read the Word, apply the Word, obey the Word, and live the Word. And no matter who tells you anything contrary to the Word, God's Word must have the highest priority. It says in Job, great men are not always wise, neither do the aged understand judgment. And just because someone has a position or a name or a title does not mean you ought to listen to them. Even Christians give bad advice at times. So we need to be careful that we come to the Word of God. That's true wisdom. A six-year-old who has grasped that the Lord has created heaven and earth and has put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior has more true wisdom than a man of years with a list of degrees after his name. He stands up and says there is no God. True wisdom is biblical wisdom. And one place we are called to be wise is in the eternal matters of life. Do you remember in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 32, oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. And folks, the Lord calls men and women and boys and girls to act in wisdom with regard to eternal things. And there's some people who are so foolish when it comes to eternal matters. I put it off until again. I wait until the next mission. I wait until my deathbed and then I get saved. And you listen to people like that and they say it sincerely and oh, the foolishness. God says, boast not thyself of tomorrow. You have no right to argue with God and say you'll get saved tomorrow or next week or next month or next mission. You have no authority to do it. In fact, you're fighting against God and saying, I don't believe that your word is true. God's message for sinners is that, oh, they were wise, that they would consider their latter end. Now, I want to ask you a question this meeting. I know I'm primarily speaking to Christians, but they aren't saved in this meeting. Have you ever considered your latter end? Not what you think might happen. Not what you hope might happen. Not what you have heard might happen. But that what God's word says will happen. Where sinners will be divided from the saints. And the saints called to heaven and sinners called to hell. And you need to reflect on that this morning and you need to decide where you're going to be. And consider how you stand before God, and if you're not saved, then this morning, get to the foot of the cross. We sang it was down at the feet of Jesus. Oh, the happy, happy day that my soul found peace in believing and my sins were washed away. That's our only argument for standing before God. My sins are washed away. And the world laughs at people coming to church on a Sunday. Maybe your family has laughed as you've left the house today, mocked you, because you have a concern for your soul and eternity. But friend, the scripture tells us this is wisdom. This is wisdom that you're prepared, that you're concerned. And folks, there's a great necessity for wisdom. You turn with me to Exodus chapter 28 and notice how important wisdom is. In Exodus chapter 28 and verse number 2. And here is the spiritual work that's being done here. The garments were to be made for the priest. And it says in verse 2, and thou shalt make the holy garments for Aaron thy brother for glory and for beauty. And thou shalt speak unto all that are wise hearted, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. There were people called to do a spiritual work, something that was going to help the work of God, something that was going to be in obedience to the will of God. And folks, if you're called to a spiritual work, you say to me, what's a spiritual work? Anything that advances the kingdom of God. Bus driver, person who opens the door for the services, those who invite others in, those who play, those who sing, those who testify, those who preach. Whatever it is, we need to be filled with the Spirit of God. We cannot do it ourselves to any glory of God. We must be filled with the Spirit of wisdom and the Spirit of God. So we need to pray in our spiritual activities, as it were, the activities where we're seeking to win souls for Christ, that we don't do it in the flesh, but we do it in the Spirit of God. And then if you go to chapter 31, not only, as it were, in the activities where we're seeking to win souls for Christ, but in the everyday matters of life, in our daily job, in our daily living, in our homes, we also need the Spirit of God. How do I know that? Because it says in chapter 31, verse 2, "See, I have called by name Bezaleel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, the son of Judah. I have filled him with the Spirit of God and wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and all manner of workmanship, to devise cunning works, to work in gold and silver and in brass, in the cutting of stones, to set them in the carving of timber, to work in all manner of workmanship." What's this teaching us? That even for the practical works, your daily job, you need the Spirit of God to glorify God, to live for Christ, to honor him. But folks, not only is it important in the work of God, not only is it important in daily living, we need to grow in wisdom. See, any man or woman who thinks they've made it, they're wise, they know it all, they're full. Because it tells us in Luke chapter 2, verse 51, verse 52, that the Lord Jesus Christ grew in wisdom. As a child, he grew in wisdom. Folks, what an example for us. We too must grow in wisdom. And we do not grow in wisdom by listening to the world. We do not grow in wisdom by acting like the world, but we grow in wisdom by coming to the truth. And the more you read the truth, then the wiser you will be in the things of God. Then secondly, it talks about instruction. Now that word instruction means warning, restraint, discipline, doctrine, and chastisement. But whenever we read God's word, not only is there wisdom to know what to do, there's warnings to tell us what not to do. And God's word warns us. It gives us discipline. It teaches us doctrine that instructs us what is right and profitable and what is not good for us. One of the marks of the unsaved in Proverbs chapter 5 is verse number 22, "His own iniquities shall take the wicked himself, and he shall behold him with the cords of his sin, and he shall die without instruction, and in the greatness of his folly he shall go away." Now that doesn't mean he wasn't instructed, but it does mean that he did not heed the warning that was given. He shall die because he has not heeded the warning which has been given. If you turn back to Proverbs chapter 23 that we're in, it tells us there in verse 13, "Withhold not correction from the child." And that word correction is the same word that is translated instruction just a few verses later. But there's one other verse I do want you to turn to in relation to this instruction or the warnings of God's word. In the book of Job chapter 36, you'll find that this is spoken of in relation to the Lord's dealing with his people. And it says in Job 36 verse number 5, Job 36, verse number 5. "Behold, God is mighty, and despiseth not any. He is mighty in strength and wisdom." But then verse number 10. "He openeth also their ear to discipline, and commandeth that they return from iniquity." And that word there, discipline, is the same word that is translated instruction in the book of Proverbs. The Lord opens our ear to discipline, to instruction, and to warning. Folks, it's profitable for you to pray that you will hear God speaking to you as you read the word. We can read the word and not take it in. We can read the word and say, "I've done my readings tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Go to bed." And it really hasn't been particularly profitable. You need to pray, "Lord, speak to me. Speak to me, Lord. Open my ear, open my heart, and speak to me. And here's the bottom line, folks. God speaks through his word. God talks to us. God communicates through his word. Now, I know there's other ways God does communicate to us, but you'll find they're all based around his word. God speaks to us through our conscience. And we know whenever we're saved and we've done something wrong, the prick of the conscience. It's uncomfortable. Why do we know that? Because we've read the word of God. We know what's right and wrong. Sometimes when we're in conversation with godly people, or spending time with godly people, and we see the way they act and their attitude and how they conduct themselves, and we feel that pang of conscience within. I'm not living like that. And the Lord sometimes uses others' lives to bring us in discipline through to the place we ought to be. Sometimes it's conflict within our lives. Sometimes things go wrong. And the Lord calls us to stand back and say, hold on a minute, what's going on? And the Lord's speaking to us. And you know, it's not always, as it were, through the heavy hand. Sometimes it's through the gentle touch that the Lord speaks to us. Sometimes it's through the comfort of God's word. Sometimes it's in rebellion in our hearts that we read a little verse in Scripture that says, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, and the Lord breaks us. Because we know that whenever God has loved us with an everlasting love, we've been so rebellious and wicked, and that breaks our heart, and the tears begin to flow because we realize, oh, the love of God for me. Sometimes it's through confrontation. Whenever Nathan stood before David and said, thou art the man. How wonderful whenever people love us enough to point out what's wrong, that we might get right back on the right track. And the reason some people don't open the word of God is because they don't want to be confronted with their sin. Sometimes the reason believers don't open the word of God is because already in their heart they've drifted. And they know if they came to the word of God, they would feel the pang of guilt. Because they know God's word is true and they've wandered from the Lord. Could that be you this morning? You haven't opened the Bible in a long time. When the Lord says, come. Come afresh. Open the word and the Lord will speak in your ear. And folks, you come in repentance, it'll be a word of comfort. But there's something else that the Bible gives us, a word of wisdom. Gives us instruction, and then finally, it gives us understanding. That means to discern, to perceive. It also means to teach, which I think is a very interesting facet of this word. Because the more you understand, then the more you'll be able to share with others. And the Lord doesn't, as it were, raise you up to be godly, that you might just keep it to yourself, but your life ought to be teaching others. That does not mean telling other people what to do. But you can teach by example, by your attitude, by your lips, by your life. Yes, at times it will mean speaking to people face to face, speaking to your children, speaking to your family, speaking maybe in a meeting. But there has to be understanding. And the word comes from the root meaning to be able to separate something mentally. In other words, to be able to look at something and say, that's right, that's wrong. And if we are honest this morning, many of the problems we have in our life are because we've made decisions that were wrong, because we did not consult the word of God before we committed ourselves to them. And that's the importance of a biblical truth foundation. It gives you a good understanding. And I just want to show you very briefly, because time is away this morning, just a couple of verses that I pray will encourage you to keep reading the word of God. Turn to Nehemiah chapter 10. Nehemiah chapter 10. says the rest of, verse number 28, and the rest of the people, the priests, the Levites, the porters, the singers, the Nethinims, and all they that had separated themselves from the people of the lands, unto the law of God, their wives, their sons, and their daughters, everyone having knowledge and having understanding, they clave to their brethren, their nobles, and entered into a curse, and entered oath to walk in God's law, which was given by Moses, the servant of God, to observe and to do all the commandments of the Lord, our Lord, and his judgments and his statutes. Now, what do we read here? Here are people, the very last word of verse number 28, they had understanding. Again, this understanding, this discernment, what was right and what was wrong. And this understanding, this biblical truth, taught them what friendships, what relationships, what fellowships were glorifying to God. So what did they do? They separated themselves from the people of the land onto the Lord. And they clave to their brethren. And as they clave to their brethren, and as they fellowship with their brethren, you know what happened? They had a desire in their heart to go through with God. And folks, the relationships that you have, the relationships that you have, will either help you in your walk with God or they will hinder you in your walk with God. Now, I'm talking about the relationships of friendship, the friendships that you make, the people you associate with, people you spend time in their company with. They will dictate in many ways your zeal for the Lord. You need to get around people who love the Lord. Young people, you need to get around people who love the Lord. But not just young people. Older people, you need to get around people who love the Lord. And you'll know the right friendships in your life by the word of God. That doesn't mean you annihilate anybody who's not saved. Of course not. But I'm talking about your close confidence. I'm talking about those who you share with and those who you're very close to. They need to be God's people. Not only that, we need to turn to Isaiah chapter 28, and just one more verse after this, and we're through. Isaiah 28, and verse number 9. Whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. What we find here is that it is God that giveth understanding. It is God that gives growth. And folks, if you are not a daily reader of the Word of God, then you are not growing or maturing like you ought to be. And let's be honest this morning. Many of the problems in Christian churches are because of immaturity among God's people. And because they are not in the Word of God, and they are not in the place of prayer, and they're acting like five-year-olds. And we need to grow up, and we need to mature, and there's one way to do it. Never Paul wrote, I think it was to the Hebrews, he said, at which time you ought to be ministering, you have need for the basics of the Word of God again. Because they hadn't grown, they hadn't matured. Look what it talks about, being weaned from the mother's breast, being moving on from the milk to the meat. Folks, let's grow in grace. Let's grow in maturity. Let's grow in Christ-likeness. Not stamp our foot like a toddler whenever things don't go our way, but let's grow. Be a blessing. And then the final thought is this, Psalm 73 and verse number 17. This is a beautiful verse, Psalm 73, verse 17. Psalmist is discouraged. The wicked seem to be pressing on. They seem to be gaining. They seem to be having a field day. He wonders, what about me, the poor Christian? Those people don't love the Lord and they're being so blessed. But look at me, I'm being faithful. Nobody seems to care. Verse 17, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. When did he have understanding, the right understanding in his thoughts? When he was in the presence of God. How do you know He was reading the Bible. Well, where was the sanctuary? His temple. And what did they do as they were walking up the temple? They recited the Psalms of Ascent. I lift mine eyes on the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth, etc., etc. As he went to the place of God, he recited the word of God. And as he recited the word of God, you know what happened? The Lord directed his thoughts in the right way. Folks, many times we fail to understand properly what's happening in our lives. We feel self-pity. Or we misread something, we feel anger. Or we judge something, we feel hurt. Many of these things come into our lives. And yet when we come to the word of God, it seems that God just shines his light upon it. And God shows us the right way. And God shows us the right attitude. And God shows us the right way to walk and the right principles. And folks, how often we suffer in bondage to our own thoughts, because that's how much we've limited ourselves. Instead of coming to the word of God, then we understand how blessed we are, how privileged we are. And folks, you know what happened here? I believe he changed the psalmist's heart, that instead of feeling sorry for himself, he felt a burden for those who were lost. Whenever we come to God through the word, we will certainly be changed. We'll know more of his way and his will, and we will certainly leave with a burden. As I conclude today, I want to just speak to the unsaved. Wisdom, instruction, understanding that allows you to live in sin without fear is from hell. Building your life upon anything other than God's word and closing your eyes at night peacefully means you're living upon the lies of hell. No foundation. No foundation. Only one book has truth. There's only one way. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. But then I say to the saved in the congregation this morning, who are going on with God, seek after these things. I can never overemphasize the importance of scriptural preeminence in our lives. It says in the word of God that he shall have the preeminence. How do we put Christ first? By placing him ever before us. You read the word, you search for Christ, you seek after these things. Lord, give me understanding, give me instruction, give me wisdom as I read thy truth. And the Lord will give those things freely and liberally in an abundance you could never have imagined. But often we're sitting in poverty, aren't we, because we don't ask. But I say to the backslider in this meeting this morning, and this is specifically where I feel the Lord is speaking. There are those in this meeting, and you once lived your life with the principles of truth erected very firmly. You didn't go outside the bonds of the word of God. You didn't do your own thing. You loved the Lord. You sought the Lord. But if truth be told, the Bible is no longer your rule, no longer your principles. I read a story this week on the internet, and I'm sure some of you also did. And it talked about the center of the town in the 1800s. In 1810, a market yard was built up in the diamond. In 1820, a clock was erected up there. It's a central part of the town. And whenever the market yard up there was demolished in 1880, that clock was sold. And it's now in a farmyard in Lisson. And as I thought about that, there was something that had been erected in the town. People saw every day. People lived their lives by. People walked past. Where is it today? It's been taken down and removed. And folks, that's that some of you here. You were faithful. You prayed. Maybe even preached. You led souls to Christ. And you haven't opened your Bible in days, weeks, months, or even years. And your life's a mess. Oh, not outwardly. You look the part and you smile. Tell people everything's okay. Within your heart, there's not what once was. And I beg you this morning, do not live that way any longer. God desires to bless you. God desires to use you again. What do you need to do? You need to come by the truth, receive the truth. That word by also means to recover. Recover it in your life. Raise up again the standards. Set up again the guidelines and the principles by which you will live your life and know the blessing of God. Think of the people you influence. Think of the work you could be doing. Folks, get back to the Lord. Let's pray. Heads bowed and eyes closed, I make myself available once again, the Reverend McCray also here. You would like to speak to us about eternal matters? Pray and come and do that. Lord, spoken to my heart, I trust He's spoken to yours. Let's make the Bible the priority in our hearts. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the privilege of bowing before Thee in prayer. We thank Thee for Thy word. We praise Thee, Lord, for, Lord, just a few words out of this book, but yet what a great impact on our lives it can have. We praise You, Lord, for speaking to my heart. And I pray, Lord, to speak to my brethren and sisters, to those who are outside of Christ this morning, but especially, Lord, if there are those who are cold and those who have been led to believe the lies of hell, that you can live without the Bible, still enjoy the Lord. Oh, God, get us back to the book. Get us back to the Word. Get us back to the place where every decision is made upon the principles of this truth. Oh, Lord, then we'll be a stable people. Then we'll know the blessing of God that maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. Then we'll be usable in the work of God. Then our lives will testify the way they ought. Oh, Lord, give us a hunger and a longing that nothing will satisfy other than getting alone with God and His Word. Bless Thy people, Lord, protect our quiet time, our personal devotions. Help us to be faithful. Oh, Lord, speak, I pray, this morning, for Christ's sake. Amen.